Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today. Hey, everybody, welcome into another episode of the Investing in Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on building passive income, long-term cash flow for the purposes of creating legacy wealth for you and your family. And the vehicle that we use to get there is real estate investing. In my eyes, the best investing vehicle out there, better than the stock market, better than your 401k, better than all of those things. So today, I am blessed to have on the show a really fantastic guest. Her name is Lolly Daskal. She's one of the most sought-after executive leadership coaches in the world. Her extensive cross-cultural experience spans 14 countries, 6 languages, and hundreds of companies. She's the founder and CEO of Lead From Within, which is her proprietary leadership program. It's engineered to be a catalyst for leaders who want to enhance performance and make a meaningful difference in their companies, their lives, and the world. And guess what? A brand new book, and I'm excited about this book that she just has out. It's called The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness, and it's available for pre-order right now at theleadershipgapbook.com. Go visit that website because there's all kinds of extras and goodies over there to check it out. Lolly, welcome to the show.
I'm really excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you because one of the things that we hear about here, and this is so relatable to, and the reason I wanted to have you on is because so many people in our audience are held back by whatever it is, fear, analysis, paralysis. They don't think that they are worthy of some of the other high-level guests that we've had on the show here, the millionaires who started with nothing and now have 500 properties, have started real estate businesses, have quit their jobs. So many people listening to this podcast feel like they are unworthy, held back, and they don't take action. And that's the reason I wanted to have you on the show today, to help us kind of crack through that and figure out what is holding people back.
Well, you just mentioned my book, right? You mentioned The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. And in the book, I answer exactly what you just talked about. In the book, there are 7 archetypes. Actually, it's called the Rethink System, 7 different archetypes that exist within all of us. And within each one of those, we have a choice. We can either stand in our greatness, which means we can create the success that we want, or we lead from our gaps. It's all those things that say we are fearful, we're unworthy, we're not deserving, I'm not sure what to do. And so if we learn the system of the Rethink System, it could really help you into growing your business and becoming the person that you want to be. If you don't mind, I want to talk about the first archetype because I think it could help your listeners really, I think it'd be a game changer. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive in.
Okay, so let's dive into the first archetype. The first archetype is the rebel. In order for us to be successful, in order to create the kind of business that we want, in order to show up in the way that we really want to show up in the world, we have to be the rebel, but we have to be a rebel who has confidence. So how does that look like? How does that sound like? It sounds like that you know for a fact what you're good at. You know your skills, you know your strengths, but for every single rebel that is out there who's confident, there is a gap. And the gap is that 99.9% of high successful individuals feel like an imposter who has self-doubt. I know that if I want to make an impact on the world, I know there's been times in my life where I've said, oh, I'm not sure I can do that. And this imposter syndrome can really cost you in your greatness. So when you talk about that people are scared to take themselves to the next level, or people have self-doubt. What I talk about in my book is to realize this gap, but we have to leverage this gap. We can't say, oh, it doesn't exist, because it exists in all of us, right? 99.9% of us. So what we do with that self-doubt is very important.
I love the mechanics of that. And that it's that quiet voice and that quiet time that sneaks in and tells you you're unworthy, or that, oh, I can't possibly do that. I hear these other people that are getting private money, or they're getting funding in order to buy their first real estate deal. I've got no money. I can't do it. But these other people are doing it. I'm just not worthy like these other people are.
Right. And that little message, and as I, in my language, it's holding you back from your greatness. It's holding you back from your potential. And basically, it's holding you back from the success that is yours, that is meant to be yours. It's all these little thoughts. So can I talk about leveraging, how we can leverage that gap?
Yeah, I would love to hear that, because that mechanical piece, that practical component is so important.
Okay. So there, I'll talk about a ritual that I do. It helps me with the imposter syndrome. And then I'll give you some aspects of what everybody can do right now in order to change that imposter syndrome that they suffer from. So for me, I suffer from this too. And 27 years ago, I came up with a little ritual that I do that really helps me. So every single night before I go to sleep, I usually ask myself, Lolly, what did you do great today? What did you do that was masterful? What did you do to make an impact? And I kind of list some of the things that I've done and how I did it, and it really worked. The second part of that little ritual is I ask myself, Lolly, what can you do tomorrow that was better than today? And I always set a goal. I'm going to do this tomorrow, and I'm going to make that call I couldn't make, and I'm going to reach out to this person that I couldn't do. And what I'm doing by this little ritual is two things. Number one is, you know how you have all those little voices in your head? They're always telling you all these negative things about you. But by doing this little ritual, I am actually adding to that little self-talk. These are things that I do well. So every time something comes up, says, oh, you don't do that well, I say, well, you know what? This is what I do well. So that's one aspect. Another one is that I stop comparing myself to other people, and I only take the metrics of success from myself. And so when I only measure by myself, I'm not busy comparing myself to others. I know what my starting point is, and I can only be better tomorrow than I was yesterday by measuring of myself. Does that make sense?
That's really powerful. I mean, there used to be times when I would, whether it was in the entrepreneurial space, here I was at Fox News, my good friend Gary Vaynerchuk was sort of exploding on social media, and we're friends, and I'm saying, maybe I should try to do more of that, right? I'm there doing, why should I be more entrepreneurial, have this spirit, do more of that? But it was inauthentic, because it wasn't me. It was him, and it was really no way to measure against this other person's level of success. He is a totally different human being. Anybody, a totally different human being. Well, how do we know that we're not shortchanging ourselves, like when we are measuring against ourselves? Is there some ritual every morning on a whiteboard that we can measure and see that we just took that one extra step?
So, you see, one of the things that I have a ritual in the morning too, don't laugh, I have all these little rituals, because what you're talking about that some people suffer from, I think it's universal. We all have within us, like, how do I measure? How do I know that I'm doing well? And so the greatest way for me to measure and for me to be okay with what I do and how I succeed is that in the morning, before I actually start my day, I mean, I have two rituals in the morning, but the second ritual is this that I'm going to talk about, is that I talk about all the things that I'm grateful for. You see, I can be busy measuring myself against you, Clayton, and measuring against Gary Vee, and measuring myself about others. But if I step into my own life and I can measure about the things that are working and I am grateful for it, it kind of changes who I am for the rest of the day. It doesn't allow me to look over my shoulder and worry about other people, because guess what? I'm feeling okay. I have many things that are okay. I mean, it could be as simple as, my child actually did well today. It doesn't have to be very big. It can be little things. And I think that gratitude can really center us in stopping this idea of measuring ourselves. Number two is that we do things, I'm sure, Clayton, you do things that I can't do. You have certain strengths. You have certain skills that you do well. It's very important to be mindful of that and to remember that. And so I don't care if it's on a whiteboard or whatever you do. Tap into what you do well and make that almost like your poster. Allow people to know what you do well. I could never be you, Clayton, and you could never be me, but you have something special and allow people to know that.
I love the idea of gratitude. I started trying to do more of that. Maybe we take that for granted. Do you think we take maybe the gratitude for granted, like we assume that it's going to take care of itself? But we need to do more of it, I think.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that. Do we take gratitude for granted? I think we're so distracted about wanting to be who we're not that we don't celebrate ourselves enough. We don't realize what we really have. It's almost like we have this life that we're chasing instead of sitting silent and realizing we have something that's really wonderful. If we're always chasing something, we come from a lack. But if we have gratitude, we come from, okay, I do have things. I do have wonderful things. Someone told me they attended a conference last week and they were really depressed before they went. They were feeling bad about their business. They were feeling bad about the markets. Everything was really not going well for him. And then when he attended the event, somebody got up and talked about their life story and about these horrible things that happened to him. And he called me at night and he goes, Lolly, okay, I'll never talk about the market again. I'll never talk about how bad it is. I have a really good life. And so before you even have to hear about somebody else's bad life, we should stop and think about what we really have. We're really blessed, but we don't take the time to acknowledge it.
Right. I started recently on my walks. I used to fill my ears with podcasts, you know, and I do, and I'm not discouraging people from turning off podcasts, of course, but, you know, once the podcast was finished, if my walk was continuing and I still had another 20 minutes on my walk, I just would take my earbuds out of my ears, put them on my pocket, and I just sort of have like, almost like a walking meditation now where I'm just sort of saying out loud to myself, I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for what I've got. I'm grateful for my clients in my business. I'm grateful that they're happy. I'm grateful that our audience is building wealth. I'm just thankful. And I'm really like taking deep breaths while I'm doing it. And it felt transformative. I haven't done that enough. And I started doing it recently. And I have to say, it made my whole day feel better.
I think that's fantastic. It's true. You know, I think that's a great ritual. I don't think anybody should stop listening to podcasts because your podcast is actually one of my favorites. So this is a great podcast to listen to. But I think to stop and to reflect and not to take for granted how much we do have is very important.
You also mentioned something there that kind of stands out to me. It's, you know, I don't want to say gossiping, but or being negative in a negative sense. So like the idea of surrounding yourself with people who are gossiping and talking negatively about other people, or I like to say hanging out in internet forums where people like to just be negative all the time and never take action. And they like to kind of misery seeks its own level. Water seeks its own level, right?
Yeah.
And trying to avoid that negative self-talk that so many people just walk around every day. They thrive on it.
I don't know about that. You know, I have this thing that I don't know if you know this about Steve Jobs. I'm sure you do. Steve Jobs surrounded himself with A-plus players, people that were better than he was. Why? Because he wanted to take himself to the next level. And that's how I live my life. I surround myself with people that are grateful, people that seek excellence, and people that, you know, dare greatly. Think about this. If you surround yourself with risk takers, then you're going to take risks. If you surround yourself with people that are in the status quo, most likely your life will be status quo. So who you surround yourself with is very important.
There also in your book, you talk about not only the rebel, which is driven by confidence, you talk about the explorer, fueled by intention. And I feel like as I look through the difference or the seven archetypes, I bet a lot of our audience could relate to being the explorer. They have the intention of doing better for their family. Maybe, you know, a lot of our listeners have just had a new child. They have a baby on the way and they're starting to like come outside of themselves. I don't want to say being selfish for most of their life, but now they're really starting to think about their family and they have the intention of doing better.
Right. So the explorer is a beautiful archetype because for the explorer, they want to do something new. They want to do something exciting. They want to do something they haven't done before. The explorer goes into like uncharted waters, right? And so I think, and I have seen over the thousands and thousands of people that I've coached, that in order to be a great explorer, you have to let go of control. You have to let go of that analysis paralysis that Clayton talked about earlier, and you have to use your intuition. Now, I talk about using your intuition, not about in this idea of, oh, it's the sixth sense, oh, it's your gut feeling. I want to talk about what intuition really is. Science says that in our brain, we have these little memory chips. Every time we have an experience, it goes into a chip. Every time we read something, it goes into a chip. We have these memory chips in our brain. When we need to make a decision, when we need to go into uncharted waters, when we want to start a new business, when we want to do something exciting, if we're not sure what to do and we try not to control our answers and we allow ourselves to, I talk about it as a flow, we let go in order to let something come in, our intuition kicks in. And what that means is that all those little chips in our brain start to connect the dots and then spew out an answer. And it sounds like this: follow it, do it, do it now. It usually has three or four words. It doesn't have more than five words in a sentence. And then you know it's your intuition. That means that the dots have been connected in your brain and now it's giving you a direction. And if I were you, I would follow it. Why? Because it has connected the knowledge of what you have, of the experiences that you have. And so it's telling you, you need to be that explorer. Go do it. This is the right opportunity. Now, people, sometimes they don't trust it. And what they do is they start adding on the words like because. Because means that now you've stepped out of your intuition. Now you've stepped out of the flow. And when you do, there is a gap. And that gap becomes the exploiter who manipulates. That's someone who's so fearful about doing anything, of letting things just happen. They start to try to manipulate things and control things. And they end up exploiting maybe other people to do things the way they want them to do it. And guess what? It costs you in your business. So the best thing that you could do is you could ask yourself, do I want to stand in my greatness? And that means being the explorer who's fueled by intuition. Or do I want to end up leading from my gap, which I might be manipulating people and exploiting people, and it costs me in my greatness?
That's powerful. I love these, the leadership gap archetypes, as you talk about, and the imposter, as we talked about, who's so insecure, they play havoc with their mind because they have this self-doubt, the exploiter who manipulates every chance they get just so you will know how powerless they really feel. The deceiver who is suspicious about everyone. I mean, these are the people that, I mean, these are a lot of the people sometimes we'll deal with because they're just suspicious about everyone. And because they can't trust themselves, and that's really the key, right? They can't trust themselves to speak the truth, so they think that everyone else is lying.
Right. Well, you know, the deceiver, it ends up costing them, and I always talk about their greatness, because they create suspicion around them. And if you only told the truth, and if you told the whole truth, and I talk about in my book how to tell the truth when you have a hard time telling the truth, then you don't have to pay the price in your greatness. You don't have to pay the price in your business, because by being a deceiver and creating suspicion, Clayton, you know what happens. You end up not trusting others and you don't trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. One of the other ones you talk about in the book is the bystander. And we talked about it here, but who's too fearful to be brave, too conservative to take a risk, and as you say, too cautious to take a stand. So how can they really lead their family? How can they really ever provide that legacy wealth and really build something that they can then go to an estate attorney and say, these are all of the properties that I've bought. This is the estate that I want to hand down to my children. If you're the bystander, you can't do that.
Absolutely not. You can't, because it gets in the way, right? You're supposed to be doing something, but what are you doing? You're standing by on your life. You're the bystander who's not taking action. And so we talk about, if you want to take action, you need to be the hero. You need to be courageous. Now, you know, usually people think of heroes as people who burn, you know, run into burning buildings. That's not what a hero is. Those are heroes too, but the hero is the person who simply shows up in their day when they're fearful. They act courageous. How many times are we fearful and we don't do anything? We're the bystander. What I ask each person, maybe starting today, have the courage to be the hero in your life and do the things that you're fearful about.
Hmm. Yeah, it's amazing, and it's a really powerful lesson for all of us to be sort of self-reflective. When you start work, you've worked with so many executives in your career. When you first sit down with an executive, are they willing to be self-reflective? Do you find that there's like a common thing that they're kind of like, all right, Lolly, come on in here. I'm a really busy person. I don't know that I can deal with this right now. And you have to sort of remove that facade before you can get to the truth.
So I usually get hired by either the board or by HR that says, go deal with my CEO. Nobody ever says, Lolly, I want to be self-reflective. I've never been hired that way in over 3 decades. What usually happens is that a CEO is suffering. A person is suffering because either they're not getting what they want, they're not succeeding, they know they're stuck, they know they can take themselves to the next level, but they don't know what's keeping them back. They're in a conundrum. They're like, I don't understand. When I show up, they're usually blaming everybody else but themselves. And the truth is, I'm not there to change anyone, but I always ask the question, are you getting in your life what you want? Or do you think there's something that, you know, you can reach a tremendous potential within yourself? Can we reach something that I call, can we unleash your greatness? I always talk about greatness. Can we unleash your greatness? And they go, oh, I want to unleash my greatness. And I said, okay, well, there is a gap that's standing between you and your greatness, and let's figure it out. And they're always like, yes, let's do that. First, you have to have a buy-in, but nobody ever says, okay, I want to be self-reflective, Lolly. I'm going to hire you to be self-reflective. That never happens.
What does greatness mean to you when they want to achieve that greatness? How do we define greatness?
Oh, I love that you asked that because it's a very important question. So thank you for asking that. When I talk about greatness, I talk about meaning and I talk about purpose. Usually, the folks that I work with are leading thousands and thousands of people. Millions of people are listening to them. They have large corporations. But that doesn't matter about the number. It doesn't matter about anything like that. Because at the end of the day, what legacy are you leaving? What purpose are you living? And how are you creating meaning? That's what I mean about greatness.
And it's different for everyone.
Exactly. That's what's so wonderful, that every single person here now listening to this podcast can be saying, if they could answer, what does greatness mean for me? Again, don't measure it by anybody else. Measure, go inward. My company's called Lead From Within, right? Go inward and ask yourself, what does greatness mean to me? And then ask yourself, what are the gaps that are keeping me from that greatness?
What are some of the biggest things that you see holding people back?
So I see many things. And usually in my business, there are patterns, right? So fear is a big one. Fear of failure, fear of not knowing. Most people think they have to have all the answers and they have to know everything. And the idea that they can be vulnerable and still succeed is something that gives them great comfort. Because most people think, I'm very smart, I should know what to do. Or I'm very smart, but I'm fearful and I don't understand. Fear is a big component of why people are not taking themselves to the next level.
I totally believe that. I've been ruled by a lot of fear in my life, you know, and I've talked about this openly on the podcast, my fear of money growing up, hearing those memes from my family, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. We're not the Rockefellers. We can't do that because of this. And so I always had that sort of negative association with money that I was undeserving of it. But as I got older, I realized it wasn't just fear about that. It was fear of success, that if I achieved success, that would somehow undermine me, right? I would get to a certain level and I used to find myself self-sabotaging. I would follow shiny object syndrome where I would just about reach success and then start walking away, you know, going over there because I don't know why. You know, maybe I just felt undeserved. I don't know.
So you talk about something very, very powerful. It's our relationship with success, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship, the idea of who we can be. And if we don't come to terms with it, then how are we supposed to become better than what we think we are, right? What we think is what we become, right? So you have to be very mindful about your thoughts, and then you have to be mindful about your actions. I always talk about that it's who you are is the most important aspect. If you want to be successful, you need to know who you are and what you think in order to dare greatly and do great things.
Well, as we're wrapping up here, I want people to be able to pre-order the book, go to the website, and get The Leadership Gap, the brand new book, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. It's time for us to get self-reflective. We've done the homework on passive income, right? We've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We've gotten our taxes in order. But I think it's time for us to get really serious about what gets between you and your greatness from going to that next level. So Lolly, tell us, where can we learn more and how can we become a part of it? I know you've got some great freebies as well on your website.
Right. So I've got wonderful bonuses if you pre-order the book at theleadershipgapbook.com. Please take advantage of it. It's available until May 16th. And you can find me other days and every day at lollydaskal.com. And I'm very present on social media, on Twitter and on LinkedIn. Tweet me, talk to me, and I will respond. And that's also at Lolly Daskal.
Wonderful. And we just had a great episode on the power of LinkedIn. So everyone in our audience now should know how to use LinkedIn to help them connect with people. So hopefully you'll be getting a lot of hello from our audience over on LinkedIn as well. But in the meantime, I want everyone to head over right now to theleadershipgapbook.com. We'll have links on our website. If you're driving, go to morrisinvest.com and click on the podcast page there. Today is May 1st. So you have, up until May 16th to get the freebies?
So don't take action this moment. Don't say tomorrow. Don't say that's what Dare Greatly is, right? Take the action right now and get the bonuses today. But they have it until May 16th, but they should do take action right this moment.
Wonderful. Lolly, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This has been great. Really, really great.
Well, and I didn't hire you, but I'm being self-reflective today. So thanks for that. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing to the podcast. Thank you for pushing us up. And by the way, being ranked as one of Inc. Magazine's top podcasts. Lolly, did you know that this podcast was named by Inc. Magazine as one of the top podcasts?
Thanks. It's well deserved. It's well deserved.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks to all of you for subscribing and being longtime subscribers and really trying to, stop holding yourself back, find your greatness, and go out there, take action, become a real estate investor, and do something for your family, do something for your community. And we'll see you back here on Wednesday. We've got another episode on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we publish 3 times a week with great guests like Lolly. We'll see you back here next time, everyone.